I start my clock. Welcome, the last session of Tech Ed New Zealand in the Windows Server track. Congratulations, you've all made it. You've all survived Tech Fest. And you have a nice pile of grease in your bellies from dinner or from lunchtime to be able to fend off the last of the snoozy bits left over for the session. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Rick Claus. Before we get started, I ask this of all my people that have come to the session so far. So if you've been to resilient file systems or if you've been to Active Directory, do not answer the question. Anyone else, if it's your first time in the room, what is wrong with the slide? Can you pick it out? No? Everyone always says the old Microsoft logo. In the back? The what? You got it. That's the right way it should be, like the All Blacks. And because this is the last day as well, I want to change into my proper All Blacks jersey. But just to point out, you can't see this in the live stream, I also modified it with a Tech Ed. So it is technically a black speaker shirt, so I don't get in trouble with the organizers. I also have, in case you have not been here before, two prime bottles of maple syrup from Canada for good questions that come up during the session. And lastly, hopefully not the only reason why you're here, I also have this great Samsung Series 9 engraved Ultrabook that gets to be given away at the very end, if you pay attention. My questions are not easy that I'll be asking for the skill testing questions at the end of this. Hopefully you're good to be able to follow along and get the knowledge you need to be able to do it. We are going to be talking about Server Manager, your new friend for the rest of management of Server 2012 for the foreseeable future. Again, I'm a senior technical evangelist. You can reach me on Twitter if you're interested, RicksterCDN, or you're welcome to check out my blog at regularitguy.com. But more importantly, Server 2012, we're going to be talking about Server Manager. It is the most powerful tool that you'll be using in your toolbox to be able to manage your new Server 2012 systems and other systems as well. And so I'm going to be showing it to you. For those of you that are immediate naysayers and say, oh, I'm never going to use that new modern UI interface, or I don't like the look of that, you know, M word as far as the design goes. I'm going to show you how you can get around the server interface environment and manage your systems extremely fast, faster and easier than you did before, using Server Manager and using some other tools as well. And then I'm going to be taking more of a deeper dive into the conceptual ways of how Server Manager works so you can make it work for you, how you can customize it, what you can do to it, how you can adapt it, and then finally, troubleshooting it, because obviously if you can't manage your servers are going to be in trouble. So we're going to fix that as well with doing some advanced troubleshooting as well. So let's kick it off with a trivia question. What would you say is the average number of windows people have open on their desktops simultaneously? Shout it out. Anybody? 6, 3, 15, 10. Who has more than 15 windows open on their desktop? More than 20 windows open on your desktop? More than 50 windows open on your desktop? Well, we actually caught some very interesting information with regards to, you know, if you say opt in to share your information with Microsoft to be able to help improve products, we get a lot of telemetry information. And it turns out that after analyzing this, you typically will have the bulk of the people with 6 to 9 windows open on their desktop at any given time. You also maybe have a few that have maybe 15 to 19 windows open or something like that. But basically, if you add up all those numbers, you've got 50, 70, 90% of the people are all 14 and under. Almost everybody in this room had their hand up saying they have more than 15 windows open, more than 20 windows open. That probably indicates that these guys are the consumers, and everybody else is in this room are IT pros. And why is that? It's your server management tools. You have to have multiple windows of information open. You have to have browsers open, applications open, logs open, event viewers, individual management tools for people to go off and manage different things. And so, generally speaking, you have a lot of windows open. Now, what does that mean? It means that you have the ability to request the 80-inch touchscreen monitor downstairs as your new monitor for your desktops. And then you can throw the windows all around and do whatever you want to. It'd be absolutely fantastic. It's that new modern UI interface. It also means you can go off and get multi-monitors. My setup is actually a three-monitor setup that I use in my environment just to try to make sense of what's going on. So generally speaking, we are real estate hungry when it comes to resolution as IT administrators. So we took this into account when we were talking about how to manage our systems with the how to manage the new version of 2012. I mean, we're talking like 5 years out and more for the initial planning phases for making the next product of Windows, which is now Windows Server 2012. In the past, Server Manager or Windows Server was generally an operating system that you would be absolutely fantastic for managing a single server at a time. And then another tool for the next server, another tool for the next server, and all of its different devices. But now 2012 was designed from the perspective of, from the cloud up, the ability to have all our learnings from managing multiple massive amounts of systems in a public cloud interface brought into your own internal environment. And so 2012 from the ground up is designed to manage many servers, not just one. It's designed to manage all the devices that connect up to those servers. It doesn't care if it's a physical or if it's a virtual system, because those lines are blurred significantly. And even cooler, how to manage the systems if they're on-prem inside your server room, or if they're off-premise at a hosting company, or in the public cloud, if you have the proper connectivity access to it. Server Manager can handle all of these when we're talking about the design principles for what we started off with. It's a pretty broad slate of what was put out to the design team. So Server Manager, basically, we decided to make a significant investment into how to handle multi-machine management and also how to improve the administrator to server management window and ratio window. The idea is that if you have the ability to filter down and to look at the servers you care about the most, you're going to be able to manage those ones, but still have a view on the other ones that are peripheral and important to you as well in your systems. The idea behind the design is using some interesting buzzwords from the modern UI interface design. Glanceable is something that comes up an awful lot. Relevant was some other words that came up with regards to our field testing with this when it was being developed. And also actionable. If you see a problem, you should be able to fix it as well, as opposed to having to go off and fire off another tool to fix things. And so if you actually look in, if you're interested, some of the design principles for the modern UI interface that Windows 8 uses include these things like fast and fluid and glanceable and digital by design, uncluttered. Like, there's a whole bunch of them you can go off and take a look at if you're interested in it. I actually had I have an interview coming out on Channel 9 talking with the lead designer for Server Manager for the UI and how they came up with how it looks and what it does. It's actually a really cool interview. That's going to be coming out very, very soon. Lastly, it has to be an easier ramp to automation. So basically, you're not going to be only using Server Manager to do the manual click and point things. You're also going to be using the tools that it can launch off to be able to encourage automation. So things like, if I always know that I need to install the following X number of features for my base environment, I want to be able to take those X number of features, save them as an XML file, and then I can actually pump that install process through a command line and apply it to 150 servers. Boom! You now have 150 web servers in your web farm configured by one command line, no UI clicking. So that saves time, and it happens to be required to be able to manage at scale. So very, very cool stuff. And likewise as well, some good parity between the stuff you can do in the environment for command line can also be done in the GUI, and vice versa, the stuff you can do in the GUI can obviously be done in the command line as well. Really great stuff. So what are some Server Manager features and some functionality we have? We have this thing called a dashboard view. I want to do a little show of hands here. Who here has seen Server Manager 2012? Everybody put your hand up, because you probably sat in some Windows Server 2012 system here at TechEd New Zealand. If you didn't, then you probably were in the SharePoint track or something. It's the first thing that comes up whenever you manage a server is Server Manager. So it's going to be basically what's known as your dashboard view. The good thing is it's completely customizable. If you don't like the look of it, you can change it. Don't like the big box of information, get rid of it. Want to add in more servers, you can go and add them in. It's all able to go through and give you your details. The server role, the custom groups, the home pages, the data tiles, all that information, they contain some common information, and that generally is going to be the properties of the individual server you can manage, and then you have things like events, services, BPA, performance, and roles and features. Those groupings, events, services, BPA, performance, roles, and features, those are going to be common through all the tiles. I'll be showing you in just a minute if you haven't seen it. And so you'll always have the same flow and location for where they are. Then you have some very cool capabilities of doing some neat stuff for deployment, which I'll be showing you as well. Then some very neat stuff for being able to control the data that comes in. And then finally, some other commands that you're going to be going off and working with. So you guys interested? You want to see Server Manager? Are you excited? Okay, let me show you Server Manager. First of all, you have to go to your Start menu and then go ahead and find Server Manager. And then you launch it, and then you can go ahead and do a promotion and demotion of your domain controllers. Do you know how hard it was to find these graphics on the internet these days? So yeah, that's where it came from. It's nothing at all like Server Manager from the days of NT4 and before. So that's my little ha-ha joke that I've got right there. Before I go off and actually show you the real Server Manager, because you've all seen it once, and I'm going to show you to use it, I thought I would actually take a little bit of a diversion to show you some architecture for how it works. Then you can understand this concept of how it works. And so first off, some core functionalities of how this works. You have more than one server inside your environment. Sorry, does anyone here only have one server in their environment? Anybody? Okay, nobody does. Even, I bet you, everybody in this room, you have servers in your house, and you have more than just one, I'm willing to bet. So you have a whole whack of remote servers that are inside your environment, anywhere from 5, 10, to 100, to 1,000, to 10,000, whatever. Now, those servers, you have the ability to manage potentially all of them if you're an administrator, or maybe only some of them. Or maybe only some of them are the ones that you care about where other people look after those servers that are out there. The concept is basically you're going to be grouping the servers that you care about into things called server pools. And then you're going to be collecting data from those servers on a regular basis that is in a controlled fashion, that does not overwhelm your network and sit there and poll every single 2 minutes to find out if it's still alive. It doesn't do that. It's much more smart with what it does. But basically it goes in and you identify your servers into a pool. It then goes in and remotely contacts those servers and says, okay, first of all, is this person allowed to do this to you? Okay, yes, they had the proper rights. Okay, give me the information I'm looking for, please, and I'm going to bring it down to my local box. That's stored in the local database for where you're running it. So that way, when you launch it and it gets the update, you're only getting the delta of the changes the next time, hence the reduced amount of data and traffic that comes across. And also the Wiesen ride takes a little bit of time for it to kick in for the very first time. Now, once you've got that, it actually displays this information to you in a couple of different ways. On the left-hand side, you have what's known as roles or role tiles. Nodes on the left-hand side. I'm getting ahead of myself. Those nodes basically are self-identified by the services that are installed on those individual boxes. So say you pick the machines to manage are your DHCP systems, your DNS servers, your domain controllers, but not your file servers. You're not going to see the file server show up there. You're not going to see the WINS server show up there or whatever. You're only going to see the servers you care about show up as individual nodes. And then you have something called all servers, which basically lists off all the servers. Does anyone remember what those five things were that always show up on all the different tiles? You were the first one with your hand up, sir.
The properties, services, BPA, performance, roles, and features.
Oh, so close. I'll give you the maple syrup anyway. You're missing one. He basically named them all off. They were properties. Events was the one that you missed. Services, best practices analyzer, roles and features, and performance. So here you go. Close enough. We'll give that 95%. Don't use it all in one spot. So, yes, you have that. Basically, and that populates it out. So, yes, on the left-hand side, you're going to have basically your node view. As you click on the different node, the dashboard changes and the view of the data changes in there. The dashboard is basically what's glanceable if you're at the very top level of those nodes. And then as you click on the ones down below it, like my DNS servers, it's going to filter the data to only show you the stuff you care about for DNS. If you click on file server, it's only going to show you the stuff you care about for file servers and stuff like that. Kind of simple concept. Relatively neat. And then finally, it also has the ability to store this information, and then you can query against it. You can go in and write custom queries that happen on a regular basis on this individual data, and then be able to surface that inside those individual tiles of the dashboard for different types of alerts that I'll be showing you as well. So I think I've kind of talked enough about this conceptually. I'm going to actually go ahead and start and show you this, what it looks like. Okay, this is the real one now. See if I can do my nice little crossfade, nice and gentle, for the little flowers that are out there. Okay, so in case you haven't figured this out, this is my Windows 8 system. Yes, I'm managing all of my servers from a client machine, and I'm going to remote desktop into a box. And this is your primary server interface that you're going to be using. What? No shocks? Ah, I can't believe that. No, this is not the way that you manage your servers. This is actually just me showing you that one of my systems, which happens to be, if I move this guy over here, one of my systems, which is DHCP1, is actually a full core install, default install option for how you run your servers, just to prove that the way I'm going to be managing this guy all remotely using the proper tool, which is actually installed right here. If I bring it over, Server Manager. That's the guy you want. So, first of all, customizable. Yeah, this thing at the very top takes up an awful lot of space, right? Guess what? You can hide it when you're done with it. However, I do encourage you, take a look. It contextually tells you what's new within Server Manager. Each of these links go off to the internet to pull up some nice articles about how they work and configuration stuff, places to go off and to learn more stuff. So basically, these quick start things give you the idea of what you should be doing to work with your servers. And what do I have here for servers? I'm just going to go off and hide this guy. I actually have a couple of servers in place already, one to be exact. That simply is one individual server. My left-hand side is my nodes. Notice how, because it was detected it was a DHCP system, it's going to give me my DHCP node of information on the left-hand side. And the DHCP server also happens to have a file share that's on it. That's why the file and storage services shows up as well. Notice how on the left-hand side over here, it also goes ahead and collapses this to only show you the information that you need as you need it. And then as you go back to the dashboard area, it cleaned itself up. Very fast, very fluid for what it's supposed to be doing. Now, I'm actually going to go in here and make this a bit more interesting, because I'm going to say right mouse click, add servers. Interesting. How can I add servers in? Well, where's the biggest repository of where all your computer systems are? One says DNS. Active Directory. Well, I'll even give you that one there, because DNS is probably integrated into Active Directory anyway. But yeah, basically, Active Directory is the easiest one. DNS is another one you can use. You can even use an import of a text file of all the different systems you want to go off and manage. This is great for scenarios where, for instance, you are connecting to remote systems that are not part of your Active Directory, that maybe are, that are at your client sites someplace else over the internet. So those are different options you can do. I'm just going to do a quick query to say, show me all the servers. And just to make this more fun, I'm going to go ahead and bring them all in for every single one. Now, this client system is going to be going off and now talking to every single one of these servers using Windows Remote Management with the Microsoft Management Framework version 3, which is built in to Server 2012, to be able to go off and to contact them. And I can see here, oh, look at this, IP address. It's online. Last time it checked for the data. And I can also go in and see if it's activated. And I can see there's a couple of guys that are actually having a couple of problems. So what just changed there? What caught your eye? Come on, what caught the red, the big flag at the top, the big red thing that says refresh failed? That probably tells you something's wrong. You should go investigate those individual systems. So I can close that off. I can go back to my dashboard. And because I'm already a bit more advanced, you can now see that's not a dashboard that I want to wake up to in the morning when I come into the office. I can look at a glance what's wrong. It's glanceable, right? What else can I see? Well, I can see very quickly that there are some issues with, for instance, my DNS servers, my file and storage servers that have some, and even a couple of Active Directory servers that have performance issues. That's interesting. Performance issues, eh? What can I take a look there for performance issues? Oh, two different systems had a couple of error messages with regards to their CPU alert level flags. So before I go into what that actually means, let me actually show you one server and what it looks like here. Let's pick directory services, DC number one. You remember, here's the picker of the servers. You have the common areas of events, 39 total events. And then down here, these are all the services that are currently running. The best practice analyzer, because I'm in a demo environment, did not talk to the internet to get any best practices that I could upload. But then down here, look at this, performance issues. I had a couple of big spikes of CPU utilization and memory utilization. Notice how there's also gaps in time. The reason why there's gaps in time is because this isn't a live constant pulling of perf data. It's a go out, get, bring back, go out, get, bring back every once in a while. So it's not a massive load on your systems that are out there. So I do have some performance data that's available and taking a look at. And then finally, some roles and features on this guy has Active Directory services installed. That's the basic layout of the information. But what if I want to go in here and actually look for, I don't know, let's filter for any critical events. No critical events on my domain controller. That is good. How about warning events? There were 17 of 39 warning events that happened. And I can now quickly scroll down and take a look and see what they were. A couple of replication issues that can fix themselves and some other things like that. So nothing too crazy I have to worry about. What if I want to go down here and take a look at any services that are related to Hyper-V? None on this box because it's the domain controller. How about looking into some DNS services? Yeah, there's a couple of DNS services that are there that I can go off and look at. And then down on roles and features, I can go off and take a look and see what roles and features are installed and even remove stuff on the fly. Now, what makes this more powerful for multi-server management? Remember this, 39? Select them all, 65. All the exact same stuff I can now do. It's 43 events out of 65. Were there any criticals on this guy? There were no criticals for any of my domain controllers. That's good. All the same stuff dynamically is now updated. I can say sort by, display name as an example. I can see my different services on those different boxes nicely sorted by domain name. And even performance-wise, I can see all my performance alerts that happen across all my boxes that happen to be there for different error messages. Very fast, very fluid, very easy to go off and do stuff. Let's actually go back here to all my servers and just show you this one thing of actually showing you all the systems at once. 188 systems that are out there. Quickly, any criticals? Ooh, there were two critical events. I don't think anyone's gone through and checked their event logs that fast. You guys check your event logs every day. It's first thing in the morning, right? When you go in the office for every single one of the servers you manage? Well, I just did. And it took me 5 seconds to look for the stuff that's important. That's how easy it is. All the same stuff applies across the board. So let's go off and fix some of this red, because I do not like red. Even though I am Canadian and red is a Canadian color, I want to go off and fix some of this. So I know for sure I have two events that were red. Those were power related. I can call up my buddy and find out that the intern happened to trip over the UPS power supply and knock these two guys off the power grid. So I'm going to say, you know what, those guys really aren't all that important because it has been fixed. We fired the co-op. So I'm just going to say hide the alerts, hit OK. Now that guy's good. He's now removed. Oh, there's some services that are down too. There's a couple of services across all these different boxes that are currently down. Well, let's highlight them all and say start. And it will go off to each individual box, DC2, DC3, DC4, IPAM, and WSUS, and start all those services and clear out all the event logs of any issues. Nice, eh? Same tool, all in one spot. Now, how about this performance issue? How do we fix that? Well, that was the warning, basically, on DC1 had a CPU count 3 times, and DC2 had a CPU count 4 times. Let me go back here for just 1 second. That was DC1 and DC2, right? That's domain controllers, DC1 and DC2, highlight both of them, go down to my performance alerts area, and I can see where there were some issues. If I right mouse click on this guy here, sorry, if I choose tasks, sorry, I can configure performance alerts, and I can choose what the threshold is. The default threshold is 85%. I can up that or down that if I wanted to. I can then also go in and potentially identify what processes were running on those individual boxes causing those issues, and then figure out that, oh, someone was running a SETI client to search for alien life on those machines at 2 o'clock in the morning for a couple of hours while they were doing something. So I can go off and take action to be able to fix that as well. So I'm going to basically dismiss those error messages for now, the performance issues. Yes? Good question. So basically, is the ability to go off and and clear multiple on the same time, or to control the performance alerts? I don't quite understand. Yeah. Okay. Good point. Basically, in this particular question, he's asking about if I have a whole whack of different events that are going inside my event logs. I don't want to see them every single day. Is there a way that I can tweak and tune it? The answer is yes. The default criteria right now is it flags it as a red on the all servers if it's a critical classified event. You then would simply go in and change that. Actually, if you have 1,000 critical events, I would suggest you go and fix the problem, not just hide them. But notice it didn't show up any error messages for any informationals or any warnings, as an example. You can tweak it so only show me the warnings or only show me the whatevers. You can even get down to the level where you say, only show me the criticals that are specifically event ID 8906 on the blah, blah, blah line of business application log. That's the only one I want to be alerted on, but I'll get to that in just a little bit. Your criticals are yesterday's, the day before's. The default is it's going to go in and show you based on time, and I'll show you to configure this, to basically say, I only want to see the criticals in the last 24 hours, or the last 3 days, or the last 7 days. And you can, again, customize what that looks like, and that's later on. So as you can see here, I actually pulled up the performance alerts issue to see what it was, and I can actually see that CPU hit 100% on those guys. And if I scroll down and take a look at this, I can basically figure out that, oops, where'd it go? Of course, it slid over to the side. Sort by CPU. What was taking all that time and all that processing time? Or is it? There it is. Oh, it wasn't SETI. Some guy was doing a prime number calculation on those boxes. So that's definitely something I should investigate. But for now, I'm just going to go in here and take these two guys and say hide the alerts to make them go away. And we're almost looking better here. These individual tiles haven't caught up yet because I've only been accessing and updating this one tile at the bottom right-hand corner. These guys will also start to clear themselves up with just a simple refresh. And then I should have a lot more green, which is what I'm aiming for with this particular update. Windows 8 clients going out, contacting all the systems, verifying all the settings, making sure that it's all still accessible. And it's actually probably giving me a timeout issue or a warning issue here because I still have two errors that are actually important with refresh issues. And I can find out that, hey, refresh failed on a couple of different servers. And I can fix that. One's DHCP4 and one's DHCP3. So I'm willing to bet under manageability, DHCP3 and DHCP4 have two issues that need to be fixed with regards to remote management. In this case, I happen to know that they're online and they're working, but there's a little thing where basically if they booted because of the speed at which I launched my virtual machines, I launched them out of order so that my domain controller wasn't fully initialized before these guys initialized, and they tried to go in and contact the domain controller, and it basically failed contacting, but it continued to initialize. So actually, let me just go in here, minimize that out of the way, and let's just go and fix this within my hypervisor. 3 and 4 it was. So here's how I fix this nice and easy. I'm just going to go in here and basically reset his network card. And then go back and put him back in again. And then the same thing for number 4 to be able to fix it. Change him to external. And then change him back to number 4. And then now the next refresh cycle is going to happen. These guys will come back and update themselves correctly. So far, I've shown you basically the ability to go off to add servers into the system, I've given you the basic walkthrough of understanding the concept of the dashboard and how to make it nice and green individually. Don't just dismiss all your criticals. Make sure they're fixed. and then a view of all the basic parts of what's going on with the different servers. So for instance, your events area for filtering. Neat thing about the filtering part is that you can obviously go in and you can save these filters for different queries locally in the box, and then they will go off and make it so that they will come up as a quick filter drop-down list right here for your saved queries looking for specific events of things that have gone on. And again, what's this going to do? It's going to make it so that you have a much smoother analysis of your event logs on a daily basis. This is also a really good example with the dashboard for being able to, again, justify that 80-inch monitor downstairs, because you can have a nice big dashboard of all your servers and your management can come over and look at the nice big green thing and give you a pat on the back that everything's going well, except when it goes all red because somebody tripped over the power cord, in which case you have to go and fix it. So we can't unfortunately fix all of stuff, but we can fix most of it. Other thing that's also very good, I just showed you stuff inside the dashboard. How to actually go in and show you here, for instance, my all servers. I showed you how to select them all and be able to filter them. That's one thing you can do. But actually, I also have the ability to go off. You saw me right mouse click and start services. I can also go in here, right mouse click, and oh, look at that. All of my context sensitive tools are available on the box that I hit. Right mouse click, look, DHCP manager. It's there. It changes as I go in and do different things. WSUS, right mouse click, Windows Update Services. The tools that I need to be able to do stuff on those boxes are immediately there based on the ones that I select. You even have the ability to go off, if you remember, and right mouse click and say remote desktop connection. And I can remotely, if I have to, log on to a box to be able to do something. Again, it's a core box to prove to you this is a core install server that I'm hitting, and I can manage it fully, remotely, using Server Manager. Right mouse click works. Basic stuff as well for configuring the main operating system. I can go in and say fire off a remote PowerShell window to that remote guy. So I'm automatically in context of talking to DHCP2 on my system for remote PowerShell commands. I don't have to cite the slash computer name account. Yes, sir. Can this be deployed across a forest? Great question. Answer is absolutely. If you can get to them on your network, you're able to manage them using Server Manager. And to one-up that, if you can get to them via IP on anyone's network, you can manage them if you have the proper rights to be able to do it. So this could be a server that's up in Azure Infrastructure as a Service. This could be a server that is at a partner site or a hosting site. As long as you have IP connectivity to be able to go off and to talk to that guy, you can be able to go off and manage them. What else do we got? You're stealing all my thunder, dude. Yes, manage as gives you the ability to say choose credentials for who you're going to be connecting to that box as to be able to do stuff. I'm not going to give you maple syrup for that one. Sorry. If I missed anything here, I've got add servers to consoles. I showed you the dashboard. I restarted some services. I dismissed events. I showed you all the details, contextualized tools, and filtering and remote access, and the added bonus points, courtesy of the gentleman in the corner, of showing you how to connect with different credentials. So I think I've basically pretty well covered almost everything that I wanted to show you in the first demo of what's going on with Server Manager. Question at the back, sir. So the question was basically, once I spend all this beautiful time setting this up for an hour and a half, once I go back to my office and install my first server, am I going to have to reset it back up again all over again the next day? The answer is no. It obviously saves all your settings locally on the box. You can then go off and roam those settings to other locations. You can even... Including the managed as credentials? Yes, including the managed as credentials as well. So you don't have to keep on inputting them all the time. Okay, Server Manager did that. I got to keep on going, guys. I want to make sure I get through it all. So hang on your questions for just a little bit. Okay, yes, I'll do one last thing just because it's cool. Here I am on my Windows 8 client system. I've got all my servers that are here. I now want to go off and say, for instance, make it so that all my DHCP system over here, I want to be able to simply say manage, add roles and features. And I can say, yes, here's my wizard interface. I want to install a role-based feature. And I want to select my DHCP 1 box. And it goes out, contacts it, sees what's there, and tells me automatically that he already has in this case, Active Directory Domain Services installed, DNS server, file and storage. Let's say I want to go off and turn this guy into a web server. I can add in the web server features. Go and hit next, go and hit next, go and hit next. Fill in all the details for IIS. Restart if required. Don't recommend that on your domain controllers, but you can. And before I hit install, I can actually go over here and also export configuration settings, which means that if I export them and save them to my desktop, that XML file can now be referenced in a PowerShell command. So the fact I'm going to go off and install IIS on this particular box, if I need to now go install IIS on 5 other domain controllers, I can write a very simple PowerShell command script that queries the Active Directory, finds all the domain controllers inside the Active Directory, itemizes and lists them all off, and then goes off and remotely installs IIS on every single one of them because I'm going to pipe it that config file that has all the settings I just asked for. Very great for having the ability to eliminate human error of clicking and installing the wrong thing because you happen to turn off, I don't know, dynamic web pages or something accidentally when you're doing your install. So I actually just went, installed a new service on a remote box from a Windows 8 client without ever having to log on to that remote box, and I have the proper credentials to be able to do it because I'm an administrator. Is that not cool to be able to do that? What do you think? You can clap, you can say yes, there you go. So again, that's at scale as well. As I mentioned, you can save that XML file, be able to do stuff. And I'll show you some even cooler stuff as far as deployment options coming up in just a minute. I don't think I missed anything. It's all good. Yes. So I've shown you the concept of selecting your individual servers to manage, the ability to go off and to do a role-centric dashboard, which basically customizes the stuff that you care about. I threw everything in there just to show it all to you for now. You can actually customize that as well. You can then go in and have detailed roles and server views, as I mentioned individually. The neat thing is, if you click on the node for DNS, you're only going to see the filter of DNS-related events, the filter of DNS-related performance issues, the filter of DNS-related services automatically for you, for what's there. And you're also going to get the best practices information specific to that role of DNS on that individual server. It's all customized for you on the fly. It's very contextual for what you're trying to do, to be able to right mouse click and to launch different tools, and you can even go off and deploy new roles and features to servers remotely without ever having to log on in that box. Very, very good stuff. Now, from an advanced deployment perspective, there's definitely some things that are way better with this than what you used to have with Windows Server 2008 R2. If you were here for my session 2 days ago, which was talking about Active Directory, I literally can take 5 member servers, select one of them, and then say, do an install, save that XML file for installing my Active Directory Domain Services role. I can then apply that XML file to my other 5 member servers, and then magically I now have 5 new domain controllers. I can even go through and automate the DC promo process of those guys as well at the same time with advanced deployment. So as opposed to having to interactively log on to the server in 2008 R2, run DC promo, answer the questions, answer the wizard, reboot the box, wait for it to come back up again, load additional services and everything else, it's now something that can be done all initially remotely. The one thing that's also kind of cool, which I didn't have a chance to show you just yet, so maybe I should show this to you right now. I still have time. Is the ability to go through, as I flip back to my demo machine, you can see here that the installation process finished for DC1, and it now is a web server. Not that you would really want to have a web server on your domain controller, but you know, it was a demo, right? Just thought I'd show it to you quick. I also have the ability to go through and say manage, add roles and features. And this time I'm going to say, you know what? Go through, and this time I'm going to say, go through and install to a virtual hard disk. The idea being is that virtualization is obviously a technology that we all should be using. I can actually go in and mount a VHD file of an offline prepped server. I can then go in and inject the things I need to onto that base image, like additional roles and functionality, and then save it. And then now deploy it, new VM based on VHD, boom, it's in there. Let me show you how that works. I want to go in here and basically say WSS server is my target guy because I'm going to do a new WSS deployment. I happen to have the base image file for that guy under WSS source 2012 base.vhdx. If everything worked correctly, this will go, connect up, analyze it, and then prompt me for what's already installed on that base image, and then allow me to inject some new stuff into it. For this to work, the VHD file or VHDX file has to be in a shareable network location. The computer account of the server that I selected that's going to be analyzing it for me has to have rights to that share. Not your user account. The computer account's going to go off and do it for you. So it has to have rights to the share. Think of this also, this could be like your base VHD library of disks that's up in the sky, if you will. Once it's done, it analyzes and tells me, oh, by the way, this guy already has file and storage services that's out there. Let's go in and add in WSUS. It's going to add in all this extra gunk to make sure that WSUS works. Yeah, go ahead. Add them in, please. Next to finish this. Just guys, let me go through the last of this so I can start it. In this case, it's asking me specifically for WSS. Go in and store the updates on /WSS. Next. And then done. I basically say, go off and do your install. It's now modifying, mounting, and doing stuff to that WSS server, VHD base file, so that now when I deploy my next 5 WSS servers, it'll go in and now have WSS already installed on that base install. How's that for cool for advanced deployment? So that was an offline VHD. You have the ability to go through and remove unwanted footprint of files if you wanted to, and basically point them to a share name to be able to install new options. WSUS happened to be a full GUI install, therefore it knows where the files are to be able to go off and inject the pieces it needs to inside there. If it was a core install and did not have the install files, I was able to go in and put in a UNC name of where the install.wim file is, where it can get those pieces from. Batch deploy via automation would be simply, as I mentioned, that whole PowerShell concept of saving the XML file of the configured options I want to install, and then simply piping that with literally install-windows feature, target computer name, and then -config file, referencing the config file, and you're good to go. In case you wanted to see this guy finished, sorry, I switched off too quickly. It's going ahead and basically says it's all done. There is, in this case, because it's WSUS, some additional configuration required. So when this guy first comes up as a new machine, it's basically going to launch me Server Manager and then give me a task at the very top of that guy saying you have extra stuff to configure for WSUS before I can be used for something. That was a pretty fast install. I wasn't anticipating it to be done that fast. What else do I got here? Coming through. Ah, yes, adapting Server Manager to your needs. What can we do to customize this little tool? It's already pretty customized as it is for being useful to you. I'm going to show you what you can do to be able to make it even better. So this was our picture we left off at. You guys now understand the concept of nodes. You also understand the concept that when I select a node, it gives me detailed views specific to what's important for that particular task or role that I selected, DHCP, DNS, whatever. And then I'm basically getting a subset of the data from the inventory, from the events, from the services, from perfmon data, and that sort of stuff. You can actually go and customize this. I can make my own custom grouping of tiles. One guy actually asked me, is it possible that I could go in and manage my Exchange servers with this? I'm like, technically, you would simply make a custom user tile and you would select your Exchange servers as the ones you're looking for. And then you wouldn't have the full functionality of what you would get with everything because obviously it's not a management tool for Exchange. But you could say, filter me any critical events about the data store because there's an event ID for that. Filter me any performance data issues. Performance data is not going to work because it only collects performance data from 2012 systems. It does not collect it from other systems. And currently you can't run Exchange on top of 2012. It's not supported at this current revision. You know, you could go through and also look at the Exchange services that are there and then go off and customize it in that fashion. So that's basically where we're going with this, is that you can go in and add in your user custom side of things. But what does that actually do is your custom user tiles basically is called a server set. basically a server group. And then inside there, you've got your own custom data sets and your own custom queries, and then a filter for what's good and what's bad inside your individual area. So I'm going to show you how to go off and how to make a customized server set inside your environment. Switch. Did I switch already? No, I didn't. Okay. So let's say, for instance, in this environment, I have the view of all my systems across the board. Here they all are. They're all nice and large, all sorts of stuff. I still have some errors with these guys. I'll fix those up before the end here. Bear with me. But let's say I want to go off and I want to manage just building two resources. In this case, I actually have five subnets inside my environment that are literally five subnets that are being routed. I can go off and basically select, where is it? Tools. Create server group. Sorry, manage create server group. Okay, let's call this guy building two. And then how do I find who are those building two guys? I happen to know from my IP addressing that, guess what, DHCP2 and DC2 happen to be the two guys that I care about, which are part of building two. And now I have a new group or node on the left-hand side that is called Building 2. And I have two disparate systems, a domain controller and a DHCP server now showing up. That's my custom list for what's there. All of the settings underneath here for individual tasks that I want to do, for configuring data collection, all my individual settings for saved queries are now unique to this one tile that I just created for my user tile. Same thing for services that I care about, my filtered settings that I care about, and then also down below here, my performance thresholds that I care about as well. Those are all custom to how I want to see building two information that's on there. Yes, sir. Good question. So basically, can you have an automated query that goes in and automatically adds in new computer accounts as they come in? The answer is no, unfortunately. No, I'm just going to say, let's just keep it at that. No, you can't. You do have to involve some level of manual selection. Again, I mean, think about it. If you're in a large organization, do you want to have 50 new computer accounts that were brought online last night automatically being managed in your system? Maybe if you're not the one responsible for all those 50 ones, you won't want them. So in this case, it's a manual thing to add them back in again. So that's literally how easy it is to make a new one for building two. And as I mentioned, all of that's customizable. All the same things still apply for contextual tools, for being able to add or remove roles, and also the ability to go off and to run specific tasks that are there. In this case, it's showing me all the different options that I can go off and work with, which is quite large, which is actually very large, which you may not want to have. Context-sensitive ones are available when you right-mouse click, and only the ones that are relevant fire up. Notice how that tool came right up, specifically targeting the DHCP manager, and it was already targeting the proper server. No longer do you have to open up the blank MMC console on Windows 8, manually add in the server, and then have to go in and authenticate to make sure it all works. It does it all for you to bring it all in. For DHCP manager is one example for that. Another thing that's actually kind of cool for that, which I'll show you, actually I'm going to hold on to that one there because of my time for just a minute. I've started a deployment, the very basic levels of customization to make it all work for you, and the ability to go off and have some filtering. So, with that environment, very powerful, being able to get the right data from the server, making your dashboards more relevant for individual people, and also flexibility of customizing all of your queries now on a per user tile basis. Now, the implications of all this. This goes out, stores data locally. It goes out and contacts the servers with WinRM, with Management Framework 3, and then brings back that data to the local box, and then the delta of it, and does it again, the delta of it, on a regular basis. This does incur a certain level of network traffic to be able to work. So how confident are you in that data, and how much is it going to impact my servers, and what kind of load is on my network? Well, that is my consulting answer of it depends of how aggressive you are with what you're trying to capture. The default levels of what we have right now of adding in all your servers, generally speaking, is designed from a UI perspective to work with up to about, and I say about, 100 servers inside your environment. If you have to manage more than 100 servers, you're probably going to use a much more robust management solution, like, I wonder what Microsoft makes. Operations Manager, which is part of System Center. Yes, that's what you'd be using to be able to manage more than 100 boxes. But you can go higher. It's simply a matter of it will start to negatively affect the performance of your local system. You're limited by the hardware on your local box to analyze and crunch this data. The WinRM call out to the servers is very small, and the data it brings back is only the deltas that it cares about, right? It's not the entire batch of data all over again. So under the covers, basically, the data is timestamped for the last time it contacted the server, only asking for data since the last time to include. It then goes in and has a configurable polling interval that you can also configure under the covers so that it doesn't poll too frequently. It does a lot of client-side caching and provider-side caching of this data as well, so it doesn't have to wait for things to come down. And then also, obviously, the query optimization all happens locally on the local workstation. So more hardware in the local workstation means you can look after more servers. So to take a look at this from one particular example here for events, like this gentleman was asking, what if I have thousands of events? Hopefully he doesn't have 1,000 critical events every day. But by default, for all servers, I'm going to be collecting critical errors and warnings. I'm not going to be getting informationals that I care about. So that's a lot of traffic weeded out already. The event query is going to be for the last 24 hours. And it's also only going to be picking up the application log, the setup log, and the system logs as one example for the first level of queries. That's your one example for all four of those servers. To get more finite for individual roles, like say DNS as an example, I'm going to now go for critical errors and warnings and informationals events only related to the service of the role that I chose, which was DNS as an example. I'm going to choose it for a more detailed period of 12 hours, and then, as I mentioned, defined by roles, in this case DNS, only Demo Server 1 and Demo Server 3 have DNS on them as an example. Therefore, it's going to be a subset of that data that's going to be now collected. And then even if I go off and make a custom one, where I go off and say, just give me the criticals or just give me the error messages that are written to this custom application log A and this custom application log B, and I want to have that information for the last 3 days to see the trend analysis for what's going on, I can configure that one there as another level for that individual query. And it's also, again, saved by timestamps to try to save the amount of data that comes across as opposed to querying every single thing the entire time. So that's how it's able to basically classify the amount of data coming across is based on your choice of the roles that you're added and also the frequency that you're going to be pulling this information across. Now with personalizing, there's a really cool thing you can do here where you just saw the default ones, which was me right mouse clicking on top of a server and then contextually it would tell me, here's your DHCP manager, here's your Active Directory Administrative Center tools, that sort of stuff. You can actually go through and do even more customization as well so that custom scripts can come up against those individual boxes so that you can go through and organize your tools as well. You can actually roam your server manager settings that go off, and also you can work on the local server as opposed to on a remote machine here. Let me just show you how easy it is to do something like this very, very quickly here. As I'm slowly running out of time, I've got like 8 minutes left. With personalizing your experience, if I go in here, remember this? Here's all my tools that's really, 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 really big. Well, guess what? I don't want to launch that. That was a bad. Don't launch that. Guess what? That happens to also be all the things that you would be able to go off and see under your administrative tools. Those are all those tools that come up. And literally, what is that? That's just a folder structure called administrative tools, right? Guess what? If I actually go in and take all these guys, don't do this at home, folks, and delete them all, but then I happen to have a backup copy of the ones I care about in a customized form. Where'd it go? There it is. Paste. So now I've got subfolders that I've organized by Active Directory, clustering, diagnostics, IP stuff, and things like that. Now when I go back inside my server manager, look at this. Much nicer to look at. Including custom scripts that I've written to be able to go off into action and do things against different systems. It's just shortcuts, that's it, to manage those individual settings. So if I get creative with my PowerShell scripts and I can take input on it, I can actually dump them inside there. I can actually have them come up as contextual tools to different boxes as well to be able to make it into an even better experience remotely managing those individual systems. Very simple stuff. Very powerful stuff, but very simple stuff. That was my quick demo on personalizing your server manager. Last little bit to wrap this guy up for you guys is personalizing your server, managing the way that things work, mainly doing troubleshooting in advanced scenarios. So here's the concept. Basically, troubleshooting-wise, you've got some issues that might be happening on the client side, issues that might be happening to remotely access those systems, and also errors that might be happening at the server side as well. And so the categories might be, for instance, client side typically means that your client cannot authenticate correctly to the boxes you're trying to manage. Try the option of identified alternate credentials, or you're not part of the proper domain slash forest with the proper rights to manage them, and things are there. Remote access includes things as simple as name resolution. It has to be able to resolve the computer name and be able to access it. And then also you might have some things like missing protocols and missing services, which I'll talk about in just a second. Server-side wise, potentially you've got the wrong target that you're pointing at for the individual server. You've got only limited data, or you've got some data that can't access things. With client-side errors, as I mentioned, Kerberos is one issue that could be the thing. Mainly, you're not authenticated correctly to your system. And then possibly Windows Remote Management's WinRM cannot negotiate the proper credentials to go off and access that box. Remote access errors comes down to name resolution is primarily one of the main issues. The fourth one down there, online verify WinRM 3.0 service is installed, running, and required, and firewall ports are open. The firewall ports are open is that one quick little trick. Remember how I went in and said unattach and reattach that network adapter for that individual guy? That was because the system could not contact the domain controller in time for the services to initialize, and it throws the network status as a public network as opposed to a domain network, and basically the firewall shields go up, and that's why I can't talk to those individual boxes. That's one thing that's real fernickety to have to go off in the troubleshoot sometimes. Access denied. Probably a rights issue. And then WMI providers not loading or not working. Server-side states, a whole whack of them, generally speaking, comes down to, you know, restart pending is kind of cool. That tells you if there's a restart pending on the box before you can go off and manage it. PowerShell is not installed. Performance counter is not installed. Most of these ones are generally very easy to troubleshoot once you just step back for a moment and take a look at them. You know what I completely forgot to show you guys, which I want to go off and show you this? Here it is. I didn't forget. It's on this slide right here. Automating server manager tasks, basically the ability to go off and to manage and access and work with server manager using PowerShell. The part that I wanted to make sure I showed you guys was managing Windows Server 8 and Server 2008 R2 systems. And that is as simple as this. You simply, all servers, and you say right mouse click on this guy, add a server. And I happen to have one lonely legacy 2008 R2 system. I like saying that now. It's legacy. You can see here that guy there has now been added. That literally was a box that I installed over lunch. All you have to do is download .NET framework onto that box, and then you install the Windows Management Framework 4.0, which was just released 2 days ago. Into Final RTM, which gives it access to WinRM, gives it access to PowerShell V3, and other things along those lines. And literally, it's a single executable file, 15 megs you have to install once you got the .NET framework installed, and you're good to go. Now, when I select him, what I will show you is that these are all messages related specifically to Windows 2008 R2. I am not going to get performance data, because it does not collect the performance data in the same fashion that it collects it from a 2012 box, and so basically perf data is not going to show up. All your events, all your services, all your BPA stuff, that will show up on those individual boxes. So you can manage your down-level 2008 R2 systems out of the box. Yay! Clap your hands. It's all good. What's left? Authentication access considerations. Oh, yes. Work groups, you basically have to supply credentials. And as you right mouse click on the server, as that gentleman so nicely identified to me, you just simply identify your credentials and you're good to go. The other thing that's actually very, very cool is this also works, as I mentioned, for remote systems as well. So basically, if it's a system that's in a public hosting environment and you've got a secure connection to that box, Maybe it's an SSL encrypted connection, or you've got firewall holes punched to be able to get through to get access to. What do you need to have access to? You need to have access to the Windows Management Framework 3.0, so it's standard ports to be able to talk to it. Resource-wise, I have a couple of things here. You guys have seen these before, I'm sure. If you haven't had a chance to already, one of the best resources, which actually is not on this slide, is MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com. There are four courses up there right now with multiple modules that are talking about Server 2012. Management and automation is one of them that's up there. I'm pretty sure it's live now for you guys to go off and take a look at and to work with. And with that, honestly, I have 50 seconds to basically say thank you very much for sticking around for the last session of the day. It's been awesome talking with you guys. You can...